Whenever I read a passage of Scripture that speaks about the kingdom of God or the coming of the Son of Man, I know that there is going to be a reversal. There is going to be a transition of the ways that we normally view things. I'm keenly aware that my ways and God's ways are very different. And as I reflect on Scripture, this is the way that it has been from the beginning. Throughout Scripture, it's the same, and it hasn't changed today. When I was in the military, I took a class called TQM. I took several classes called TQM. Total Quality Management. It was all about metrics and learning how to evaluate things and learning how to respond in leadership positions. One thing that I took away from those classes was a new concept. A new concept that I call bottom up. It was very unusual for me, a former enlisted person who used to, in my enlisted times, walk in absolute fear of a lieutenant. Don't dare put me in the same environment with a colonel. And yet to find the commander, a lieutenant colonel, engage in the conversation of an enlisted person, talking about the conditions of the base, or how the wing could be improved, what were some of their observations, and then, lo and behold, to realize that those insights were taken into another level of command, and the morale began to improve. Maintenance began to take on a new level of professionalism. And operations improved as well as those on the bottom were listened to by those in command, those at the top. It was a new day, a refreshing day. In the reading that we have today, Christ comes in His glory, and He is not looking for Jews, Gentiles, Romans, Methodists, Baptists, Catholics. He is coming to separate the sheep from the goats. In the readings of Scripture, I have come to the understanding that it is not good to be referred to as a goat. In the Old Testament, there was what is called the scapegoat. And the priest Aaron would take the sins of the people and he would place his hands over the top of the goat, and symbolically the sins were transferred to the goat, and the goat was driven out into the wilderness, and I'm assuming became dinner for some hungry lion. If I think about it, it might not be that good even to be a sheep. For after a sheep gives up its wool, then maybe it is harvested to be placed on the dinner table or in a stew or on the altar as a sacrifice. But still, that's another insight. And the goats in the Bible are those that are not viewed as sympathetically as sheep. and we think about the final judgment, Jesus is speaking about separating sheep from goats, and it's obvious that the goats are the losers in this sort of thing. For a shepherd, separating the sheep from the goats is not a big deal. Many times both species pasture together and they can be of similar color. They are easily distinguished. Goats are thinner than sheep. They have different eating habits. Goat browse on leaves and shrubs and twigs and vines. Sheep graze on grass and clover. Goats are curious and independent, and sheep, for the most part, prefer to stay with the flock. Goats have hair. Sheep have fleece. A goat's tail stands up. A sheep's tail hangs down. Now you know. My dad told me in Germany and during World War II that he was watching a shepherd on the hillside. I heard him use this illustration many times in his sermons. And he said it amazed him as the shepherd began to move away from the sheep that he would blow a flute or play a flute or say something or call out, and he said that the sheep would fall into line and they would follow the shepherd wherever he would lead them. And there was usually a dog nearby that could deal with any one of the sheep that forgot or maybe got out of line. One of the striking things from this account is that unlike sheep and goats, those that have loved their neighbors and those who have not can ultimately only be distinguished by the Son of Man. The Son of Man who serves as the great sorter in this story. The doers and the non-doers of good deeds and the not so good are members of both groups, and they are quite surprised to learn which one they have been sorted into. When we think about our world and we think about the least of these, the other day in charge conference, there was a form that I had to fill out, and the question was, what has your church done during this past year to minister to the least of these? The least of these. Who are the least of these? What is my relationship with these people? There's an old story that was probably told by a preacher, but it illustrates the spirit of this passage. It's about a boy living in a children's home. For grace at the dinner table, the superintendent usually prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed." And after this happened several times, the boy said to him, "You always ask Jesus to come, but he never does. Will he ever come?" The superintendent said, "If we really want him to, he will." The boy thought for a minute, and he says, "I want him to. So I'm going to put a chair beside me tonight so he'll have a place to sit when he comes." That evening, during supper, there was a knock on the door. And standing there was an old man, poorly clothed, cold, and hungry. The superintendent invited him to join them for supper, and he pointed to the empty chair. The man sat. The boy gladly passed him food and even shared with him his own plate. Later, the boy said, "Jesus must not have been able to come himself, so he sent this man in his place." Leonard Swede, in a sermon on this passage, compares this judgment to a take-home test. He says, with all that extra time and unlimited information and fluid flexibility, there also comes greater expectations. With a take-home final, there is never a firm answer to how much more the instructor expects. Instead of a couple of quick paragraphs, and obviously now there's a much longer, more extensive, more exhaustive presentation that is rightly required. With access to unlimited resources, who is to say how many examples are enough to prove your point? An exam given in a closed classroom for an hour or two puts all the students at the same advantage and disadvantage. It's a level playing field. A take-home final, by definition, will be taken at a different home by each student. A take-home final forces students to take their exam in their individual real worlds, whatever those worlds might be like. Jesus makes it clear that Christian life comes with a take-home final. There can be no dividing walls between what we do for a living and whom we live to serve. There is no distinction between our Monday to Friday work and our Sunday selves. In today's text, Jesus reveals that He is at home with us wherever we go and whomever we encounter. Jesus declares that divine judgment would be based upon how we respond to the Lord, the King, the Son of Man, when He is in our midst. It is not how obediently we stand in awe and worship of Christ the King that determines our accountability before the throne. Instead, Christ chooses this very moment when His power and majesty are fully revealed to refine His presence. Christ the King is not some all-powerful despot. But Christ the King is the one person we encounter in our life who is hungry, the person who is thirsty, the one who is alone, the one who is an alien, the one who is naked, the one who is sick, the one who is in prison. Christ the King is found in all of those who are walking embodiments of human frailty and human failures. Christ the King is found in each and every one of us, one way or the other. This past week, I was at a minister's meeting required by our district, and the district superintendent read this passage of Scripture, and she said that some of you may be preaching from this coming Sunday. And she talked about the strike for the NBA players. And she talked about how they're arguing over their huge salaries when she said, "What about the least of these? What about those who are selling hot dogs and popcorn or parking cars in the parking lot and those few hundred dollars that they make by selling uniforms or whatever is being taken away while these individuals argue?" Our take-home final is one that we walk with all of our life. Our take-home final is this: to find Christ the King in the least ones. Not the easy ones, the least ones. Our take-home example is based on Jesus, whose own mission spoke to us when he preached from his hometown. When the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was opened, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovering of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and he said, "And today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching, preaching the good news, healing every disease, healing the sick. And news spread throughout him through all Syria. People brought him all those that were sick and suffering, demon-possessed, paralyzed, and he healed them. And John the Baptist asked him, "Are you the one, the expected one?" Jesus' response was, "Go and report to John what you have seen, that the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." And Jesus said in so many words, "Am I fulfilling my mission or not?" We are to take home this final, wherever we may be, to see Christ more clearly in the lives of those we encounter everywhere, every day, everywhere. Christ is King. His presence infiltrates every part of our lives. Christ is no king if he reigns only for a few hours on Sunday morning. Jesus is talking about personal things, places where we encounter life, where we experience people, where we meet others as they are presented to us. We can look around at our government, our community organizations, but each one of us, a disciple of Christ, is called to follow him, to respond day by day, person by person, moment by moment, one-on-one, to experience this take-home final. Every day we are celebrating Christ's kingship by acknowledging his presence in the least ones we encounter. Jesus takes it personally. Jesus takes our take-home test personally. "Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these," he said, "you did it to me." From the bottom, it's Jesus you are serving, and yourself as well. Amen.